Good morning. Hi. I'm Ruth DeBusk, and I'd like to present my co-presenters, Dr. Kathy Snapp and Dr. Rita Venn. Kathy's a director of behavioral medicine for the Family Medicine Residency Program in Tallahassee, Florida, and Dr. Venn is with the Family Medicine Residency Program at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. So we're with the Family Medicine Residency Program. So obviously our focus is educating physicians. And what we're doing here is we're part of a long-term hospital diversion program in which what we've done is put together a program, almost a laboratory, in which the residents can learn how to take a whole systems approach, looking at underlying mechanisms, root cause analysis, in a multimodal collaborative care team approach, very different from what they normally do. So obviously we're integrating this very slowly, but teaching them in a real world how to apply this to clinical practice. So we work with physician training, the curriculum, sort of their didactics, and also experiential learnings for them, physician wellness program, and a patient program in which we teach the patients how to take charge of their health, how to work with their chronic disease, how to give them the knowledge and the skills that they need so that they can actually manage their disease and hopefully prevent any future problems for them. So what we want to do today is talk to you about that patient program. It can be deployed in any number of settings, from academia to community settings. We're doing it here in the residency program as a laboratory, trying this, trying that. And what we've done is put together from a number of very well-researched programs, such as mindfulness-based stress reduction, mindfulness-based cognitive therapy, mindfulness-based eating, very much a cradle, I think of it, almost the holding cradle is mindfulness, into which we've placed all of the modifiable lifestyle factors that factor into chronic disease. And we'll go through that with you. So first, a moment of disclosure. I am a faculty member for the Institute for Functional Medicine. It's a nonprofit medical education organization, and I've headed up their clinical nutrition initiative and taught a number of courses and developed curricular materials for them, for which they pay me. Okay. So why are we doing this? I very briefly want to go through with you, just set the context for why we would even take this type of a whole systems approach. Okay. So obviously, chronic disease is a major challenge for us. We're very much in a transition from acute care, which we do phenomenally well, and chronic disease care, which is rather a challenge for us. Clearly, half of us have at least one chronic disease, and in our population, we find multiple comorbidities. 70% of us die from the complications of chronic disease. We know diabetes, obesity, huge numbers, just keeps escalating, not only in the U.S., but globally. But did you realize that depression and anxiety are the major chronic diseases that we see but don't really effectively deal with? So one of the things we're doing, the overall focus is to build resiliency, not only in our patients, but in our physicians, so that they'll stay in primary care and enjoy a very rewarding long-term career in primary care. 60 to 80% of all primary care visits involve some element of stress, usually a major one, but it, for the most part, goes untreated. It's time-consuming, don't quite know how to do it, especially within the traditional context. So we're focusing quite a bit on that, all wrapped up with a number of the other modifiable lifestyle factors. Clearly, it's a huge economic burden. We're all aware of that, and is very much a challenge for our healthcare system here in the U.S. and globally. Okay. These are the typical conditions that we see in primary care. Just ones you're very, very familiar with. Obesity, insulin resistance, metabolic syndrome leading to type 2 diabetes, dyslipidemia complications, hypertension. What we probably know but haven't really dealt with is the fact that underneath all of these they are, how do you say it? Underlying causes, the mechanisms that actually can be modified very effectively with diet and lifestyle. And we've been able to restore patient health, not just take care of their symptoms and manage their disease, but actually restore their health and prevent disease, which is incredibly exciting. And so for the primary physician that's facing this every day, says the same thing over and over, and isn't able to make a significant change in patient trajectory in terms of their health, this has really been just so gratifying for them to be able to make a difference in their health. This was a wonderful article that came out recently in JAMA. It's a commentary for an article that dealt with the state of health in America. And it's by Dr. Harvey Feinberg, writing on behalf of the Institute of Medicine. And I'd like to read some of the key points of this because it really heralds this integrative approach, this getting to the root cause of disease and applying it to all these chronic disorders that we have. It's talking about risk factor analyses being more and more useful over time as a number of different types of healthcare professionals come together. Genetic, metabolic, physiologic, behavioral, environmental, and social factors will be traced through defined pathways to disease and premature mortality. That's exactly what we're about, and one of the real challenges that integrative medicine is addressing. Even partial elucidation of these epidemiologic interactions promises to reveal powerful ways to prevent disease and premature mortality. What's really critical is this type of integrative approach will not be successful without bringing together and integrating lines of inquiry at both the social and biological levels. Trying to understand the causation of disease using only one of these lines of research is like trying to clap with one hand. I thought that was really genius on his part. So what can we do about this? As I said earlier, we are in transition. We're just excellent at acute care. And for the most part, we're scrambling and applying acute care solutions to this chronic disease pandemic. We need new tools, and we need to teach the physicians that, and we need to teach physicians and patients how to partner together and patients how to take responsibility for their health. So that's really the essence of the program that we're going to be telling you about. Love this slide because it really gives you a feeling for the different layers that we're dealing with when we deal with a patient who has chronic disorder. The social network, think of that as the surface symptoms. This is what we see when the patient comes in to the office. Okay. Underneath that, we're pretty good at figuring out what's the diagnosis. What disease does that patient have? But because of the time constraints, because of the training limitations, that's typically the level at which we need to stop, or we have stopped in the past. And what we're doing now is following that. There's yet another layer of the biochemical underpinnings for this disease state, and below that is the molecular level, looking at the genetic makeup. Let me just give you a patient example. This is very common, the type of patient that probably we all see, certainly that we see again and again in our clinic. And this was a 35, 40-year-old female, single female black woman who had been on antidepressants for a good 13 years, 3 or 4 years of cognitive therapy. An unusual patient in that she was highly motivated to get better. And instead, she was consistently just going downhill, downhill. Very fatigued, a lot of work absenteeism, social isolation, just really, really frustrated because she was trying so hard to get better and getting the best medical care that our clinic could give her. And what we were able to discern with a whole systems approach and focusing on underlying mechanisms is the fact that she had a biochemical problem, not only not enough of the B vitamins, but not a particular form, the activated form of folate. And so you could deal with it at that level. You could give her an activated B complex and watch her get better. We went one step further to look at what was actually the underlying cause for that so that we could treat it specifically. Turned out that she had a genetic variation in the MTHFR gene, the 677 C to T SNP in the MTHFR gene. And by giving her 5-methylfolate, the activated form of folate, we were able to see just a phenomenal response in her. Within just a couple weeks, her fatigue was lifting, she was feeling better, she was able to go to work and consistently, she started to become more socially active, and over the next 3 months, just became this phenomenal person. Obviously so grateful. We just see that over and over. By taking the time and using a multidisciplinary approach with our team, nutritionist, a physician, a yoga teacher, behavioral medicine, again, just using very much of a team approach, able to identify her problem and to restore her health. And this is just one example of many when we take this type of an approach. Okay? So Kathy is going to talk with you about the program itself and the specifics of it and how we actually deliver this type of whole system care to our patients.
Oh, more people came in. Okay, 5 minutes. Ruth did a great overview. One thing I would love to convey is that food is medicine. Thoughts are medicine. Emotions, medicine. Relationships, medicine. And if you look at this grid over to the right of the screen, actually I'll clip it up, this is our messaging system. And this is how you take that earlier slide that Ruth showed at a molecular, genetic, and epigenetic level, these domains impact health, function, wellness, or disease. So we like to tell our residents and teach our residents, we use this exact program not only with our patients, but with our family medicine physicians who are referring them, that every single one of these dimensions, when addressed with mindfulness, with intention, has a powerful capacity to transform one's health. And Dr. Ben is going to go through those data, but I want to tell you how we did it in our program. This was a 6-month program. Patients came every week for 2 hours a week, but they had homework in each of these dimensions that they needed to do every day. They kept a gratitude journal. They kept a core food plan as done with Ruth's guidance. They'd had a yoga mindfulness practice every day. We gave each patient pedometers that they would wear to get up to their ideally 10,000 steps. Some of them can only get to 2,000 to 3,000. But every day, these patients were monitoring and logging and journaling. So what we did was meld fields such as neurocardiology and thoughts and emotions, psychoneuroimmunology, with the impact of thoughts on the body, exercise physiology, genetic genomic nutrition, and gave them the opportunities to apply these tools to their lives. And what we're finding, not only did they get better during our program, and some significantly better. In fact, Rita, when she called us with the data results, said, "You all need to be dancing in the streets down there." We were so excited, because you never know until they run the statistics what you're going to find. But I'll just give you an example. A week ago, one of our patients from our first 6-month program came in to see me. I'm the psychologist in the program, and she'd been 2 years out from our first 6-month program. She's lost 75 pounds. She is doing a daily gratitude practice still. She is walking every day. And this is a woman who had to give blood to get the transportation money to come to the program. So we are finding that wherever people fall on the SES grid, on the chronic disease spectrum, that these techniques work. And one of the hallmarks of positive psychology is when we focus on what works, focusing on what works. So we just want to encourage you that whatever it is that you're doing, you do it with intention and you do it with a theoretical foundation that is proven to be effective. And our program suggests that employing a whole person systems approach, when you address nutrition, you address perception and thoughts, you address exercise and movement, and you teach the skills for positive relationship to self, higher power, however that looks, system of meaning, and the people that are most significant in their lives, literally transforms health. And you can see it in the patient's affect. You see it in the way they stand. It is amazing. We film our graduation ceremonies. The joy, the happiness, the thriving, the flourishing, that is across the whole spectrum of our patient population is astounding. And I'll tell you an ancillary benefit. The physicians that are treating these patients, witnessing this transformation, it is changing their scope of practice. It is changing their own self-care. So thank you for coming. Rita's going to give an overview of the data, and then if we have time, maybe one or two questions. Thank you.
One minute. So let me just tell you, we had Kathy, you can see why the program might work when you see that kind of enthusiasm, but it was a group-based model where patients had a baseline assessment, and then they were using the SF-12, the Euroqol scale, a mindfulness-based scale, and some anthropomorphic data and some biomarkers on blood serum levels. And they were assessed at baseline, at 3 months, and at 6 months. And basically, there were 22 subjects in the program. They met weekly, right, over time for that 6 month period of time. Significant, and the patient population was a variety of chronic disease conditions. Primarily, the largest chronic disease condition was diabetes, but several of them had, over 50% had 3 to 5 different diagnoses, including cardiovascular disease and depression. And this is primarily a female-based population, overweight, average weight was 199 pounds. And over the course of the treatment of the six-month period, they lost 11 pounds from pre to post. There was no control group, unfortunately, which I'm encouraging them to do the next go-around and also to have a larger end so that they can replicate the model. But on the mindfulness-based questionnaire, there's a significant difference pre-post. There was significant differences on LDL, cholesterol, on CRP values, and weight loss. And in the first 3 months, they lost 6 months on average. The next 3 months, they lost another 5 pounds. This was a program also where the patients did their homework. We assessed how often they did their homework, how often they came to the program, and it was fidelity was pretty high in terms of patient adherence to what the protocol was. The one other thing that Kathy and Ruth didn't mention is that the patients, in addition to doing the group-based model, also had individual acupuncture visits. And so, we're not able to discern sort of what are the critical elements that might have contributed to the high success that they had on, mental health functioning via the SF-12 and on the other dimensions of physical and mental health. But this was a whole system model, so they weren't that interested in wanting to reduce it to what exactly was the significant variable. So please see us after if you have any questions.